It's often referred to as the party drug, sold in Europe and Latin America. Users like Rohypnol for the feeling of euphoria it gives them and its ability to make them drunk quicker and longer. But the date rape drug, along with a liquid form of ecstasy called GHB, has been linked to several crimes on the continent in recent weeks where women have allegedly been drugged and raped. Aristarch Kiwango is a law professor at the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, one university where cases have been reported.
I've been observing some cases here in Tanzania. These cases lately have been rampant, finding that some of the students enrolled in particular higher institutions are drugged, because there are several forms of drugs, some of which they use them through pipes, and the other drugs which are injected. So, you may find out that maybe some students are hanging out, maybe they are going for clubbing, and therefrom they get drugged, maybe through or via the drinks that they are having, or else. And the aftermath of those particular students got drugged, they end up being raped sometimes.
Still relatively unknown on the African continent, so too are the dangers it poses for both men and women. Rohypnol is tasteless and odorless and can easily be slipped into a victim's drink. This means a person becomes extremely drunk and disorientated, and it then becomes very easy for the attacker to sexually assault them. Traces of the drugs disappear very quickly and do not show up on tests, making it difficult to hold attackers to account. What's alarming about the abuse of Rohypnol is how it's become a rape drug after it began originally as a sleeping pill. Patricia Monte is a CEO of Medex, a health service that lets patients in developing countries talk to doctors online. She explains what the medical use of Rohypnol is.
It's something that is used for sleep aid, that's used for by bodybuilder as a supplement, which means wherever you go in sports field, but also in pharmacies, you could find them. But just like anything, whenever it's abused, it can turn into something else. Now, what we've observed since it's linked towards the sleep aid topic, a lot of, let me call them cowards, instead of approaching women as ladies, tend to put it in alcohol and keep the lady asleep. Unfortunately, it's unadulterated, so it doesn't have any smell, but it also has no color, unfortunately, and it's just a matter of you turning around for a bit and it's already in your glass.
Although Rohypnol is being used as a date rape drug, originally it began as a sleeping pill. And one of the places where it's used is in countries that have been through war. David Ekau, a pharmacist based in Uganda, says it's very prevalent in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda.
I actually learned so much about this drug in the last 3 years when we found demand coming mainly from Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And if the drug was in Uganda, they would go all the way to Nairobi in Kenya and they would find a drug. Now, when I interviewed some of them, because the quantities they wanted were so big, they explained to me that because of the war that occurred there, when people hacked others to death, so a good number of the people who watched would keep replaying the scenes in their minds, and they would not be able to sleep at night. So most of the victims who watched the deaths of their loved ones needed Rohypnol so that they're able to sleep in the night. So a good number of those people were children, but now they are youth, and some of them are adults. You know, so they have gotten used to Rohypnol so that they're able to sleep in the night.
A tranquilizer 10 times more powerful than Valium, Rohypnol can render a victim completely powerless. So if Rohypnol is still relatively on a small scale, should the public be worried? Yes, replies David.
I should say the health professionals should be concerned because of the risk of abuse, you know, especially when the thugs, the robbers can lay their hands on it because they can drug their victims. And also the sex industry, because actually in many cases here, it is the prostitutes who drug the men. and then they rob them of their valuables upon their waking up from sleep.
Some countries like Uganda and Kenya have seen prostitutes drugging their clients to steal their valuables in a bid to boost their measly incomes. Patrick Onyango, Kampala's police spokesman, has dealt with cases of this.
It is the prostitutes that use it on men, but I don't know exactly which drug. Normally we pick them either from a guest house where they are and take them to the hospital for treatment. And we investigate, but sometimes they don't know the prostitutes they are using. So they cannot identify the prostitute. So it is hard to arrest them.
Back in Tanzania, law professor Aristarch Kiwango explains that it's equally difficult for rape victims, women in this case, to obtain justice.
When these cases are reported, of course they have those culprits. All those perpetrators, they have them, of course, being incarcerated. They are being incarcerated for a while pending for some sort of investigation. But most of the time, these particular institutions in Tanzania, they refrain from having these cases reported. So they are of the mindset that these particular cases, they do taint. They do taint or damage the reputation of these institutions. So they have this particular information concealed for a while, but with the wake of the social media, particularly WhatsApp, Facebook, and so forth, you may find out that these cases are trending in the media. But generally, these institutions, they refrain from having these cases instituted before the courts of law, with one point in mind that they are afraid of these particular institutions' image being damaged or being tainted.
And of course, afterwards, it's the victim that suffers, because the victim then has no voice. Her voice doesn't get heard, and it gets buried almost.
Yeah. Not only the victims are not having voice. If at all, as a victim, you decided to take your case, reported or investigated, of course, your academic endeavors must be under jeopardy. Because if at all it is been to the awareness of the university or institution that you have reported that case, of which, on the other hand, that case is to taint or to damage the reputation of the institute, then of course your academic endeavors must be in a jeopardy in that particular institution.
Damned if they do and damned if they don't. What protection is there for students in the likelihood of a drug rape? Kiwango says that community-based organisations, or CBOs, and non-governmental organisations are working to offer victims counselling.
What these CBOs and NGOs have opted in, if at all these cases are not to be reported, then what it remains is for counselling, whereby these victims are to be counselled. Because, you know, sometimes the problem is, for example, a student has been dragged, and after being dragged, of course, maybe he has been raped. She has been molested. This psychologically is of effect to that particular student. And you may find that her pictures, of which some are morally not good, they may go viral in the social media, of which that is cyberbullying. And we are having the Cyber Crimes Act of 2015.
Posting photos online like this is cyberbullying, and so can be punished under the law. It's easier to prosecute someone for cyberbullying than it is for date rape. Across the continent, there are no government figures on the number of drug rapes. So how can that change? One startup in the US has come up with a revolutionary nail varnish that changes colour if there are any traces of rohypnol or GHB found. Patricia Monte from MedX explains the concept.
If you have it on, and let's assume it's red, and you just dip your one of your finger in your drink, it will turn in black, blue. It's not commercialized yet, unfortunately, but they're working hard. They're looking for funding at the moment in order to scale and make it even more robust. But I would believe that if you are an open lady, you should have some kind of a tracker, especially if you have internet. When you're leaving home and you're going alone outside, and you should inform your parents or friends. And as soon as you go away from your normal path towards home, it should be a signal for everybody.
using common sense and keeping your drink close to you at all times is a best protection against Rohypnol, and one which could help keep the number of victims low.